We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by WinBet, the Friday DFS version. I am Scott Jensen. It's joined, as always, on Fridays by Andrew Laird. Andrew, it's week four. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, like, particularly excited about this slate because I think it's very different than the ones that we've been talking about for a pretty fun reason, and I think there are more ways than usual for me to lose all my money.
What's the reason? Why do you find it? Is it just the high number of high total games, the high number of low total games? What's your reasoning?
Yeah, I think that there are people are going to be, I don't think they're going to be tricked, but that's kind of the word that came to my mind. But I think people are going to be tricked into thinking what they do in tournaments will not be that popular. Like, I think there's going to be like, oh, I'm going to get leverage this way. And I think there are a lot of people who are going to ignore the more obvious leverage situations. Okay. And so it all depends on kind of like what types of contests you play. Like, obviously the bigger, the more entries there are in a tournament, the more leverage you have to identify. And I think, like I said, because you just said, like, there are a lot of games with high totals. So someone's, you know, you're like, oh, I think everyone's going to go to this one, but I'm going to go over here, even with it still has a high total. But I think the way that you play those games is actually the better leverage point than just going to a different game.
I like it. We have 13 games on the slate, so we have a pretty full slate here, so we're going to jump in. We have 9 early, 4 late. We've kind of had that split. The NFL's done pretty well at splitting up those games. We have some primetime games. What were we talking about last night? Jacksonville, Cincinnati was actually a pretty decent second half. The game that I'm already tired of, we have Tampa Bay at New England on Sunday night. I just can't believe how much they're milking this, but oh my God.
It's awful.
Let's put in Adele's music into Tom Brady and Bill Belichick clip. I'm like, oh, I that's enough. I think it was Chris Liss on yours that said it might be the most narrative game in the history of the NFL or something like that.
It sounds like it. Yeah,
it is. I mean, Brady going back to New England, like, it's massive. But, like, luckily we don't have to talk about it. And then we have the battle of formerly LA, San Diego. We have Vegas and the Chargers on Monday night, which should be a fun game too. But we have some high totals. It's weird. Usually we have a lot of games in like the 45 to 50 range. A lot of games in the NFL kind of slot in there. There's only 3 games on the slate that slot in that mix. There are 5 above and 5 below. I'm going to hit the low total games first, get them out of the way. We've got the Lions at the Bears at 42.5. We have your Jets, who find themselves living in this range quite often, 44.5 home against Tennessee. The Jets have this is a stat from Rich Rebar from Sharp Fantasy, who's really good. The Jets have trailed by double digits in 74% of their offensive snaps this year. The next highest team, but it was before last night, is Jacksonville at 52%. Like, that's a huge, range right there. And it's not just trailing all those snaps, it's double digits. Like, that's bad from a fan perspective. Like, you're just like, games are over before they start. That's brutal. I feel for you.
The worst part was that in week one, they were trailing and then came back. And it was like, oh, there's some promise here. And then I don't think they've scored a touchdown since.
It's It's been rough, but so they're getting the Titans this week. Indy at Miami is 42.5. The Giants at New Orleans is 42. Again, we're seeing a different Saints team that we've seen in the past from the especially at home. First home game this week. Good to see them back in New Orleans. Then Baltimore at Denver. You know, two good defenses. Well, Baltimore should be a good defense. They've had a lot of guys out. Is 44.5. So a batch of games that are under 45, and you know, you don't want to toss those games fully, but there's a lot of times where I was reviewing those games, I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna do much here, maybe a player here or there, but those games definitely jump out as like ones that you're not probably not gonna stack, that's for sure.
Yeah, not to like focus on one game too much, but
do
you think Denver is actually that close to Baltimore
in like terms
Baltimore
of
one?
Yeah, I think Denver. I think Denver wins that game.
Really? All right. So you do. All right.
Denver's been good. They haven't played anybody yet.
Nobody.
I wish they were healthy. That's the tough part of it. With both Judy and KJ Hamler out. You know, KJ Hamler's out for the year. I do worry a little bit. But a home game, Baltimore going out there. It's a tough one. I mean, I think the line's about right. I do think Denver wins that game, though.
Okay, that's fair.
But if we're in like the playoffs, no. But like a week four game, you know, Baltimore seem feel like they traveled a bunch. They had that win over the Chiefs. They've kind of been back and forth. Marquise Brown dropped 6 touchdowns last week. Dude, he could have had a huge game.
Huge.
Yeah, I know 2 of those drops were on the same drive, so I do get that he couldn't have scored both of those. But like, and the first one might have been tipped a little bit, but the second two were like easy touchdowns.
Easy, yeah.
Like, especially the third one was like nobody around him. And he just in his head by that point. I think you see a lot of throws early to him to get him over that. So I actually kind of like him this week. But let's jump to the high total games. We have Cleveland at Minnesota is 51.5. Actually, a pretty interesting, fun game there. Carolina Dallas is 51. KC at Philly. We always see Chiefs games. Chiefs are 1-2, by the way. That's kind of wild. It could be 0-3. They barely won the first week, too, against Cleveland. But 54.5 on that game. Obviously, we got a Chiefs game. It's going to be a lot of points. Arizona at the Rams, which is probably the marquee best game of the weekend. That's 54.5. And then we have Seattle at San Francisco at 52. Before we do jump into players, are there any games that like you're like, I want every part of this game in every way? Or just you see – obviously, there's a lot of ways to go in those 5 games. Is there really one or two that jumps out to you as a game that you're going to attack heavy?
I was less concerned about which game I wanted to attack and which one I think everyone else is going to attack.
Okay.
And
do you think that's Arizona and the Rams?
Yeah. I think Dallas actually might be the game that everybody goes to. Okay. Just because price-wise,
yeah, Amari Cooper's a little easier. Amari Cooper's price is weird this week.
All of them are underpriced in what we're usually used to seeing. Like, we'll get into that in a second, but like, yeah. Dak Prescott's usually like a top 4 priced quarterback, and I think he's around 10 this week, somewhere around there. He's much lower, at least.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to see that and be like, oh, well, this game has a ton of points that, you know, the Cowboys right. can be fun. And so I think they go that way. But like you said, there are a bunch of high total games that I think people will gravitate towards.
Yeah, I think mine is Seattle, San Francisco. I think that's going to be a lot of points, just mostly because I don't think Seattle's defense is good, and I don't think the Niners can stop the wide receivers or Russell Wilson right now with the way they're banged up in the secondary. But KC and Philly is interesting because KC 1-2 got to be pissed. Philly looks horrible on Monday night. I actually thought they were going to at least hang with Dallas or not beat Dallas. They look terrible in that game.
Do you think it's like a multi-year success hangover?
The Eagles or the Chiefs?
For the Chiefs.
I was like, Eagles. No. Eagles. Wait, that's a lot of multi-years ago.
No.
I do, and I also think it's every single team is playing them the same way right now. They're playing that that double high zone. They're taking away Tyreek, and I think that. If you look at last week, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 100 yards rushing, but I'm not sure that's a good pass for them. Like, I don't think when he's rushing 100 yards, it means that they're taking that, and you have to do it somewhat. Mahomes is good at what he does. He's obviously smart in taking that, but got to be frustrating a little bit to not be able to run their offense the way they want to. It's pretty much like dump off to Kelce, hand off to Helaire, and I don't know. It'd be interesting. I mean, at some point, Andy Reid and Mahomes are going to figure out how to beat that game script, but right now. You can see teams are definitely playing a certain way against them to try and at least, you know, make them take time, make them not hit that big 60 yarder over the top to Hardman or to Hill. And so far it's working a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's weird that Andy Reid hasn't adjusted yet because
Yeah, I think that maybe their offensive line's hurting them too. They had a lot of pressure last week, and not with the blitz either, which hurt them. The Chargers were getting home with four guys last week, which, you know, if you're gonna run that defense and you also get there without blitzing, like, that's tough to beat no matter who you are.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So do you think that Philly game will be more popular than the Arizona one?
I think Arizona Rams will be more popular. I think
Just
the names in there between Kyler and Stafford, and obviously Cooper Kupp is the darling of fantasy football right now. He's got like, what is it, 30 points a game in PPR or something crazy. He's got like 81 points or something like that. But yeah, I think that one I think that one's easier too. Like, you just go to quarterbacks and receivers, whereas the other games, like, there's a running back you could play, and it's between the Rams' injuries at running back and maybe some mixing and matching with Henderson and Michelle. And then Arizona, I mean, some people may play Chase Edmonds, but, you know, James Conner gets the goal line. So it's just easier to attack that game. You're just going to play the passing weapons and kind of ignore the running back. So it seems like everybody maybe shifts to that.
No, I think that's correct as well. So
Sony Michel might be the answer to all our questions then.
It's never the answer to my question.
Never the answer to my question either. But let's jump into kind of the who we think are be the kind of the optimal plays. Who, not in optimal, but like popular plays. Who's gonna be? Who are people gonna have in cash lamps? Who are gonna be able to play a lot at quarterback? To me, you mentioned Dak Prescott is underpriced. I kind of thought Dak, Mahomes, and Josh Allen were the three that kind of people will go to right away.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's right. I think you're going to get like a lot of people getting very excited about Jalen Hurts, like, understandably. I think this possible game script, like, the benefit with Hurts is whether they're up or they're down, like, he's obviously involved in everything, and the way that he runs allows people to get those extra points.
Right. And it's weird though, because like, he hasn't looked fantastic, but the fantasy stats have been there, and it's either like, if he looks this bad and he still gets stats, what happens when he looks good? Or it's how lucky is he getting late in games to put up some late fantasy stats, and can that continue? And I don't know which way that goes, but I mean, you look at that Dallas game and he didn't really look good, and he ended up with 326 passing yards, two touchdowns, and 35 rush yards. He had 24 and a half fantasy points, which would be fine at the price.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I don't know, it's hard to know if that can keep up. But you know, like you mentioned, certainly the game script certainly plays into his hands this week.
Yeah, I think I think he's going to be more popular than he should, just because I think that there are other quarterbacks you can play. But like, I feel like Josh Allen, like, will be popular, but he should be a lot more popular than he will be.
Yeah, and we should talk about that. I mean, they're playing Houston. They're favored by 16.5, something like that. So I think that the only reason the popular will get away from that is people are worried about second half, they're going to hand the ball off 100 times. But Josh Allen could certainly go crazy in the first half, and you know, he'll still be in the game. And I think any concerns we had about him for the first 2 weeks went away last week. He looked great last week. 358 passing yards, four touchdowns. He had a rush touchdown too. 37 points. I mean, I must have been the quarterback one last week, but he was awesome against Washington.
But right, and like, he could easily be that guy who has like 33 points at halftime
for sure,
and finishes with 36. But like, that's okay.
And it's a matter, I mean, if you get a couple plays where they score rushing touchdowns early, then you're in trouble because they may not pass the ball the second half. But the important thing with him is he's part of the rushing offense too.
Right.
So if they have some rushing touchdowns early, it's probably going to be at least one or two is him. And I actually like I like playing Diggs this week more than I like playing Allen. I really like Diggs this week. Just I think he will be less popular. And I think, doesn't really matter, but he's so involved right now that some yards and touchdowns kind of have to come this way. It's been unlucky. He hasn't topped 70 yards yet. I think that that big blow up game is on the way, and this is a pretty good matchup for it.
So just him by himself?
Yeah.
Naked Diggs. All right.
It is. I mean, Allen Diggs is expensive, and I think there's a lot of other stacks I like, but I do like trying to get Diggs in a lineup kind of by himself, because I think it's going to be a big game early for him, and then maybe they shut it down. And in that situation, I kind of like the receiver there to make a couple big plays early, and then if they shut it down, the quarterback not being involved is not as big a deal.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
What do you do with Mahomes? He's 8,100, hasn't been super Patrick Mahomes quite yet, but still quarterback 8 or better every week, just how good he is that, you know, he hasn't been huge blow up, but big plays, but he's still been really, really good. Got to think the Chiefs are going to really come out motivated this week. They're not going to want to go to 1-3. the Eagles are a team that they'll play zone and not blitz, though. They kind of play defense like the Chargers do. But Dak had 3 touchdowns, 9.2 yards per attempt on Philly Monday night. So, you know, he clearly showed that it can be done against this defense.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another one of those weeks where we look at the top of tournaments and there's Mahomes and you're just like, why didn't I just play Mahomes?
Yeah, that would make sense, right?
It like Mahomes always makes sense. And then when it works and you look at, you know, you're like, why did I play Kirk Cousins this week when I could have just played Mahomes?
So at running back and kind of your popular cash lineups, there are 3 names that I have here. 1's expensive, 2 are kind of mid-range. But I'm going to jump to you. What do you think? Who do you think are going to be the popular running back plays this week? When we look at lineups, we're like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Well, I think Henry is by far the most popular.
That was the one at the top for sure.
Right. The absence of Christian McCaffrey, which we'll obviously talk about as well, opens up just another, you know, that reduces the player pool. So it's like if you like, oh, I should play McCaffrey this week. Well, now you can't. So you just play Henry, who is getting closer and closer to being McCaffrey in the passing game, I guess. But
especially in a game where they are favored by a bunch of points against the Jets, he averages 119 yards and a touchdown in games the Titans are favored by 7 or more in. So like, it's just, we talk about game script, but he's a guy that if they get ahead, they are going to feed him. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how much.
That sounds like a first half stat line for this game.
It's I'm like very legitimately possible. Scared. He had 28 carries for 113 yards last week. Not super efficient, but obviously the volume was there. He also had 3 catches. I think I saw a stat. He has 10 receiving yards less than he had all of last year.
That's awesome.
If he catches passes, like it's no doubt who the number one running back is.
Over.
He's up there with McCaffrey, and McCaffrey's off. He hurt right now. So that, you know, obviously it takes him off the board, but there are 2 middle range guys that jumped out to me. And actually I think you're going to think I'm going to say Najee Harris, but I was not. The 2 that really jumped out to me that I like, and maybe I like them more than they are popular. Jonathan Taylor is way down priced at 6,300 at Miami, and DeAndre Swift at 6,200 at Chicago. DeAndre Swift's the running back 3 right now in PPR. He's been really good and kind of quietly because he's on the Lions, but not so quietly this week because their interestingly intense head coach, Dan Campbell, said that DeAndre Swift's going to see a lot more action this week. And anytime a coach says that out loud, people will definitely notice that and probably jump towards Swift this week.
That coach says a lot of weird things out loud, though.
He is a strange cat. You know what, though? Like, they're 0-3, but they play hard for him. Like, they were done in that Niners game. They came all the way back. They should have won the game last week. You know, Justin Tucker makes a 66-yard field goal off the crossbar that may have been delay a game, whatever it is. But, like, you got to give it to Detroit. They are playing really hard for Campbell, even though he might be a little bit crazy.
Yeah. I think it's a little more than a little. But anyway.
But a fun crazy.
So those are not the 2 mid-priced running backs I thought you were going to say.
You thought I was going to say Najee Harris and Antonio Gibson?
Nope. Although
Chris Carson?
Nope.
Chuba Hubbard?
Hubbard's one of them.
All right. Who's the other one?
David Montgomery.
Ah, yes. He's 5,800 against the Lions, who we talked about before, play hard, but can't stop the run.
Yeah. Like,
but holy crap, is that Chicago offense a disaster last week? That was my Montgomery problem. Is what they had like 47 yards total. Whatever it was, like 67 yards total. Like, I know I'm joking, but I actually think they had under 100 yards. And we don't know who's starting at quarterback. Like, they just seem Matt Nagy seems like an absolute just circus right now.
He just seems like way over his head. But
it's weird because he's been there and
right.
I never like to talk about people getting fired and stuff, but like if I were a team owner. And my coach is pretty much like, yeah, we haven't really run a lot of offense preparing for Justin Fields, and he hasn't been the starter, so we haven't really planned much for him. Like, you drafted the guy 5 months ago. He was going to be your quarterback at some point this year. Like, how are you not planning for that exclusively? Like, how is that not your main focus over the last 4 months was, like, when Justin plays – I got his name right this week. When Justin plays – hey, baby steps for me. When Justin plays, here's what we're doing. Like, how do you not – they ran, like – 4 plays total, I think, that were either designed RPOs or designed run plays or designed rollouts. They had 2 run plays and 2 rollouts the whole damn game. Like, he got sacked 9 times. You're not moving the pocket. It's just, I never want to say fireable, but boy, would I be pissed at my coach if they weren't prepared for Justin Field play.
Do you think it was a little rope-a-dope for this week?
Like, it's the NFL. Like, if you're rope-a-doping a week, like, that, you got a lot of balls to rope it over a week in the NFL. You better you better be like the Chiefs, where you know you can run off 10 wins in a row. Like, I don't know how you rope a dope. It was a home game against Cleveland, right? Like, I don't think you rope it up that way. Maybe they'll come out and Justin Fields will be all over the place and it'll be really fun. But that was my concern with Montgomery, is I just have no clue where this offense is right now.
Yeah. Needless to say, you're not playing Fields this week.
I looked at it, I wrote it down. He's still 5,200. Like, at some point it's going to work, but if I'm playing 150 lineups in a GPP, yeah, sure. I'm going to have a couple Justin Fields lineup in case he hits. But like the way I play, you know, say between 3 and 10 lineups, like there's too many options for me to go to. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think he's talented and I really like him, but I got to see something besides what we saw last week.
Totally agree with that.
Money on him. Yeah.
But like, just think of like how many of these mid-range priced at least running backs that we just named
like 7 right there.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot. And I don't think anybody is fading Henry to get two or three of those guys, like three right. in cash usually. But it makes it easier to play Henry because you're like, oh, I'm not spending, you know, $17,000 of my salary on DraftKings for two running backs.
Right.
I can just spend, you know, around $13,000-$14,000. So yeah, I think the number of guys you can play like Swift and Harris and maybe Montgomery makes it easier to play Henry.
It's funny we mentioned Najee Harris. Dude had 19 targets last week. I think it was the second most ever for running back. I think Kamara had 20 in a game a couple years ago, but 19, and the craziest one was like it was either 3rd and 10 or 4th and 10 late in the game, and Ben dumped off to him for like 2 yards. I was like, dude, I know we joke about Roethlisberger. My God, he looks so fried. It's crazy.
He's absolutely toast. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? He may come back and make us look bad, but whew, it's rough.
So you just said the name, but like no one is playing Alvin Kamara this week.
No one. Yeah, I have him under, high expensive running backs who no one's going to play. And I mean, he was the Saints offense has been rough the last couple of weeks. Kamara's had 20 carries in 2 of the 3 games, though. He had that once in his career before that.
Yeah.
But 8,400, it's just people will play him in a pivot from Henry spot, but like everybody is going to look at that and be like, I'm just going to play Henry.
Yeah. I don't know how you justify it. Like, other than the fact that nobody's going to play him, which like just, is enough of a reason. Yes.
Yeah. Just to be different from Henry, who is going to have 3 times the roster ship. And, Kamara's in a good spot. I mean, they're like a touchdown favorite against the Giants. It's a good running back spot, but Henry's spot is just so great that it's going to be hard to get there, which, like you said, might be a reason to do it right there.
Yeah. I mean, from a lineup construction perspective, you could play both, and that obviously takes you out of what everyone else is doing because everybody's going to play Swift or one of the cheaper running backs. So,
yeah, I think that Henry and one of those 7 running backs we named is the way that many, many, many people will be starting their lineup this week. Before we get into talking about who the popular receivers will be, a note from our sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions, and even more so making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you from RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBook's digital casino, take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while all rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 in your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Andrew, Connecticut, getting gambling like this week or something, right?
It's retail books are open online October 7th.
I am quite jealous. That is good. So very nice.
I'm very excited to have another avenue to lose all my money.
That's a positive and uplifting way to look at it. I like it.
I'm going to have fun doing it, though.
That's really – your entertainment value is very important when you're considering this. But wide receivers. Let's talk about kind of cash lineups, who's going to be popular. I think there are 2 expensive ones that jumped out to me and then a couple of cheap ones. The expensive ones, I think the popular guys are going to be Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp, but $7,900 and $7,800 respectively.
Yeah, I think those are absolutely the top two. And what's – kind of weird is I had no interest in Aaron Rodgers, but it doesn't really matter because when you only throw to Davante Adams, you're fine. And I guess you could play
Stafford. I'm still having Davante Adams nightmares right now, so it's a little earlier too soon for me. But like, I get Rodgers is good, but like, just don't let Davante Adams beat you in those last two plays. Like, that's all I'm asking. Like, make him throw it to anybody else.
And anyone else.
You beat you, you tip your cap. Like, hey, you know what? Alan Lazard beat us this week. Rodgers made a great throw. That's fine. I can live with that. But like, two passes to Adams. Like, come on, man.
You know what's going there.
Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it's those guys. I think you were saying how much you like Diggs. I think there's every reason to like him as well. And on the upper part of that. And then, yeah, whoever plays for the Cowboys.
Yeah, so I think the cheaper side is we've got, CeeDee Lamb 6,700, and Amari Cooper 6,000. I know he's off two rough games, but he still played the full snaps. Not like he's being phased out or something. It's just kind of the way the games work. But, I mean, you look at you, when you scroll down, you're like, where's Amari Cooper? Where's Amari Cooper? And you're like, you're like, oh, my God, that's going to be right there. I think that in that range, too, with the Cowboys guys, I think DJ Moore is popular at 6,600. He's been getting a ton of work. My DJ Moore love is finally coming around.
I was going to say, I just pictured you opening DraftKings as just being like Dak, Amari Cooper, DJ Moore.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, that's obviously the stack and the running back. DJ Moore, 6,600. He has 8, 11, and 12 targets the first three games. They're using him like they should have been using him the last couple of years. It's a beautiful thing, especially in PPR.
They just need a quarterback.
They do get Trevon Diggs in coverage this week, who's been good for the Cowboys, but like, I'm not avoiding him for that reason. And then the other one that kind of sticks out price-wise based on how good he looked last week, Odell Beckham Jr. at 5,800 against Minnesota, another high-scoring game. He was 5 for 77 on 9 targets last week. And Minnesota's been giving up some stuff. DK Metcalf, 107 yards on touchdown last week. Jamar Chase had over 100 yards on a touchdown in week one. So I think those are the four right there that, like, or five right there that as you're like kind of scrolling, it's a lot to seem pretty obvious and pretty clear to get five running backs or five receivers, those prices that like jumped out to us, like, oh, everybody's gonna play those guys.
Yeah, no, I think they're definitely there. I think you can add Robert Woods to that list because he's still so much cheaper than Cup.
And everybody's going to want to play Cup, but like 5,300, he went down. But like, it's not being used. I know he's out there, but like, end of last week, I used him last week. I used Stafford last week, which turned out to be really good, but I used him with Woods, which got there in some places. But obviously, when you get whatever he had, three catches, it's not great. But there has to be some sort of leveling out between those guys at some point, I would think. Maybe not.
It's one of those, you got to just hope you're not broke before it happens.
It's a really good way to put it. But the problem is you don't want to get away from it, because the second you go away from it, and if he has a big game, you'll just feel like an idiot for sticking with it. But what about popular cash tight ends? Like, as I was looking there, Travis Kelce jumps off the page, 8,100. He's really expensive, but you know the way their teams are playing defense against them, he's just filling it up. He had another 7 catches for 104 yards last week. I think it's kind of Kelce and then a bunch of guys in the 5,000s are where the tight ends have. I have two punt tight ends, too, that I like. We'll talk about later. But I think Kelce will be the most popular one, and I know that's not breaking any news right there, but I still think he's going to be popular.
I mean, he gives us every reason to play him every week. Like, if he was a wide receiver, we would look at him and say, I think I can play him with Mahomes. And the fact that he's a tight end, like, almost not that it doesn't matter, but it gives you a reason to play two tight ends if you wanted to, which sounds crazy, but
no, it makes sense. As we're building, you know, usually we're like, all right, the first thing I do is like, are there any free square cheap running backs? Is there any situation like that? I don't really see any. You know, if Dalvin Cook doesn't play, Alexander Mattison is still not that cheap. I think he's 6,100 or something like that. He had a good game last week.
Yeah.
There weren't any like super cheap running backs that I think people will kind of gravitate towards as we're going through here. Was there anybody you saw that like at 4,200, 4,500, 4,800, whatever it may be, that you're like, oh, everybody's going to play this guy? Because I didn't see any.
No, not that I expected Hubbard to be that cheap, just even though he played last week. But like, I don't know. I was expecting cheaper. And then when I saw it wasn't, it was like, well, he's cheap enough. But then we talked about all these other running backs that, you know, just because he's playing Christian McCaffrey's position doesn't mean he's Christian McCaffrey. So
yeah, like Montgomery's cheaper, Edmonds is cheaper, Madison 6,600. Sorry, I misquoted that. 6,600. So he's pretty much fully priced.
Yeah.
I don't think it's. I think it's a week where you've got to pay for your running backs. I don't think there's an easy kind of free square guy down there anywhere.
But again, like you have to pay for them, but you're not paying 8,000 for them. Like you'll pay Henry and then the other guys that we talked about.
Do you like kind of thinking about dropping Henry and Kamara and going two of the mid range guys? What do you think about that?
Oh, fading both Henry?
Not playing an expensive guy and starting instead of one of those mid-range guys, you go two of those mid-range guys.
Yeah, I think fading Henry is perfectly viable in tournaments. Like, I think it's actually important to do that in tournaments.
So what you're saying is the Jets are going to step up and really stuff him this week.
It's not even that. I just think the expected game script for that game is for Henry to get 40 touches because they just run them into the ground to start the game and he gets all the touchdowns and the yards and then they use him to run the clock out. But like, we've seen the Titans score points through the air, and that doesn't say like Henry has a bad game, but like, you at that price, and if somehow they get everything through the air and you're sitting there with Henry with 108 and a touchdown, like, that's okay. But why not just get the three touchdowns from Tannehill and AJ Brown if he plays?
My other factor I was going to say in that game is like AJ Brown and Julio Jones are both questionable right now. And if they don't play, like, that even shifts more towards Henry getting fed.
Sure.
So it's tough. Someone asked in the chat, they're in a 10-man PPR league. They traded Chase Edmonds and Cole Beasley for Kyle Pitts and Mike Evans. Good trade. I would say not a good trade, a phenomenal trade that I can't imagine how fast you hit accept button to. That's, I hope someone offered that to you. That's a horrible offer.
Right? Yeah, when you get the two best players in a four-person trade.
Right? Usually it's like, oh, two for one trade, I get the best guy. But if you get the two best guys, that's right. And I like Chase Edmonds, but not more than either of the other guys. And
nice job, Lee.
Yeah, that's a good move right there. So let's talk about some tournaments, some stacks here. Where are you going in terms of stack? We've talked about a lot of quarterbacks and receivers already. My favorite stack this week, probably no surprise to anybody, is Russell Wilson with one of his receivers coming back with any of the three 49er receiving targets. I think that which one you pick is going to be pretty important. I don't think it's easy to pick which one, though. But I just don't – the way the Niners are beat up right now, I don't think they can cover DK Metcalf on the outside. This is assuming Metcalf and Lockett play. They're both questionable right now. Metcalf sounds like more likely. Lockett's maybe a little more on the questionable side. But – I just don't think the Niners can cover them. You know, we talked about it last week, or we were talking about last season with a lot of, like, they couldn't cover Metcalf. They couldn't cover Devontae Adams. They showed it last week with Devontae Adams, had a big game against them. They're just without Jason Verrett, they're just too banged up back there. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. So I think the Niners are going to have to score to hang with Seattle. And I like that Russell Wilson hasn't really gone off yet. He's like had big first halves and then kind of like they kind of slow the pace again. He hasn't had a top seven quarterback week yet. I like Wilson Metcalf a lot this week.
How popular do you think that is? Because
I don't think that popular.
I agree.
There's 9 million ways to go. And, you know, Wilson hasn't been huge. And I think in the back of people's minds, people still think, oh, 49ers defense. I don't really know if I want to stack against that. Whereas I watch those games and they're good up front, but the secondary isn't. I think the corners especially are a mess. And I have to think that Pete Carroll sees that too.
Do you think it's a good idea to stack the team with the 11th highest implied total?
Are they really 11th highest? What I think is a good idea is when betting is allowed in Connecticut, you go run to the book and bet Seattle on the over for their team. I'm not saying the Niners are going to lose a game. Like, the Niners can. I think the Seattle defense is bad too, so I think it's going to be a high scoring game. But I think 11th highest is a mistake. I think they should be like 4th or 5th highest.
Yeah, I think the difficulty, and maybe, well, no, I don't. Yeah. Like, some of the teams that are in games with low totals have high spreads. And so they're like one side, obviously, like Buffalo that total I have here 47, but it's
probably Tennessee in the same boat too.
Yeah. Tennessee is 44 and a half, but their project team total is higher than the Seahawks. The same with Green Bay, you know, that game has a low total, but it's mostly because the Steelers can't do anything. So, yeah, I think
everything would be saying that the Steelers offense can't do anything.
It's crazy. The one that jumps out in my blind stack thing, there are actually two of them.
Okay.
The Niners are one of them, but like the Niners pass catchers is a little difficult to navigate.
There's a report this morning. Kyle Shanahan said that George Kittle is not guaranteed to play because he has a calf injury. That would certainly limit the tree, and I think that you can attack Debo and Brandon Ayuk pretty well. But yeah, if all three play, it's hard to figure out. They're all really good. It's hard to figure out who's going to be the guy that day.
Right. Like, it feels more like the Tampa situation where you have Gronkowski now taking away from Godwin. And I mean, they have Brown now, or not now, but that one gets really sloppy. But the one that jumps out, which I think is one that we're going to say this every week, and there's every reason not to play them. But Cleveland?
I'm going to say Cleveland. Yeah, and they have a receiver you can play now. We talked about Odell Beckham at the top. But, yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's a game where Minnesota's probably going to score some. I think that's a really nice comeback. It's just a matter of how you play it, because their running backs are hard to play because Nick Chubb's really good and mm-hmm. gets a lot of yards but doesn't get as many touchdowns, and Kareem Hunt comes in for third down and had a good game last week. It's hard to time their running backs right now.
But you have to think that more people probably play like Cousins – Jefferson, Beckham, then
yes.
Mayfield, Beckham, Jefferson, right?
I think by a pretty large amount. I think that when you're going to stack the game, everybody's going to go Cousins, Jefferson, Beckham as the easy way to do it. And you're like, not many people are going to play Cousins. He's cheaper. It's a pretty easy way to go. I don't think people will go Mayfield the other way, which makes you kind of like it. Mayfield, Beckham, Jefferson's kind of interesting.
Mayfield, Beckham, right. Right.
Although you're gonna jump in here and tell me that Adam Thielen's gonna score a touchdown. I get it, but still give me Jefferson and all the targets and all the yards. I'd go for it.
We'll just play Cousins, Thielen, Jefferson, Beckham. And just hope that nobody else catches a pass.
All right. Well, usually they don't. Every once in a while KJ Osborne's in there, but and Mayfield's cheap. Mayfield's 6,200, Cousins is 6,400. Just looking at Mayfield here. It's just, I don't know. They just don't. The first game they threw a lot because they were playing Kansas City and they kind of had to, but 213 and 246 passing yards the last 2 weeks, one touchdown each of those weeks. It's hard to see a ceiling game the way they run offense.
No, I think that you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. What about other stacks? I like going back to the Rams again. I know that it was good last week. I still think it's good again. Matthew Stafford's only 7,000. He's got Cooper Kupp. We can go to Robert Woods. We talked to is 2,500 cheaper now. And obviously you can come back. The comeback's a little tougher. You know, usually we think DeAndre Hopkins, but they've been kind of defending him. He was a little banged up last week. Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore, AJ Green was the big beneficiary last week at over 100 yards. Somehow I didn't think we'd be talking about that in 2021. Hopkins only has 10 targets last 2 weeks, which is kind of strange for him, but maybe just a little banged up. But I think Rams Arizona is going to be a fun game. A lot of points that game. And I think the staff are just rolling right now, and they don't really have a run game that I'm too concerned about taking away all the points from.
A year ago, do you think you'd ever say Matthew Stafford is only 7,000?
I know, right? It's that trade is looking he's looked really good, and they got a lot of weapons, and they hit a deep ball to Deshaun Jackson of all people last week. And missed one early. I'm like, oh my god, Deshaun Jackson plays for the Rams, and then like 4 minutes later, he's scoring a 60-yard touchdown. I was like, oh, I guess he plays for the Rams. But and in typical Deshaun Jackson fashion, you know, coasting it from the 10-yard line, almost got caught and hit at the 1-yard line because he was not running hard, but
because he was Deshaun Jackson,
at least he didn't drop the ball in the 1 yard line, which is a benefit. But real quick, I just want to go back to the 49ers real quick. We talked about it. You talked about their implied totals pretty high. If Kittle plays, I kind of think he will. I think that he's a guy that's going to try and get out there. He's 5,900. Debo's 6,500. Ayuk is 5,000. Tempted to just save the money, go with Ayuk. He did 60 snaps last week. He had 6 targets, 5 for 43. I think Debo's more involved, but $1,500 less is a pretty big chunk to drop down to Ayuk.
And it seems like Ayuk just needs 2 plays and it works.
Yeah. And I think he's out of the doghouse now. The snaps are back. Trent Sherfield, who apparently outplayed Debo in camp, had 2 snaps last week. Like, people are like writing about, oh, you know, I think Sherfield just looks good. I'm like, dude, no, there's no way. They're not in the same world of Trent Sherfield's fine as your fourth receiver, but he's nowhere in the world of Brandon Ayuk, who they traded up for drafting the first round. Like, anybody was buying Matt was like, come on, there's just no way. Debo's obviously super involved. If Kittle doesn't play, I think it becomes more Debo because I think the way they run offense, like that's the two kind of in between intermediate guys. If you get one of those out, like the other one probably eats a lot. So I think Debo will be super involved. But if all 3 play, I like Ayuk more. If Kittle doesn't play, I like Debo more. If that kind of makes any sense.
Do you think about the rushing attacks from either of those teams in that game?
If you want to be different, you talked about interesting leverage spots. I think that Chris Carson is pretty playable. If you want to be different and maybe attack that, you could go Jimmy and a receiver and Carson on the run back would be pretty fascinating, actually.
I mean, nobody's looking at those guys.
I don't trust Jimmy enough to have blow up games, but I mean, he did the first week. He was pretty. He had some huge stats against the Lions, but I don't know the way they run offense right now. My problem with them is like they run really good offense in the second half when they need to, and the first half they just don't because they don't think they need to, and the defense is going to be good. But like This week, you got to start running offense from the first quarter.
Right. But no love for Eli Mitchell?
I thought you said Eli Manning. I'm like, I like Eli Manning. He's fun on Monday Night Football. But
no.
Yeah, I mean, Mitchell is still wearing the blue contact jersey in practice yesterday. Like, if he plays, sure, you could kind of go with him to be different. But I just don't know they're going to give him a full workload with that shoulder. And I think if he plays, it's probably like, you know, 12 touches sort of thing.
Okay, that's fair.
Before we get into some more running backs, receivers, and tight ends, and we hit the stacks, a note from our sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway. We're in week 4, and Yahoo's excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of the free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS contest that's now live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim this free $10 offer to get started.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we talked a lot about quarterbacks and stacks and receivers. What about like kind of the mid-range running backs? We kind of hit a bunch of them. We talked about, is there anybody else running back wise that we talked to that we didn't talk about that you really want to focus on? Is there what about Ezekiel Elliott? He's 6,500, looked good on Monday night for the first time all year. He was 17 for 95, scored 2 touchdowns, had 3 catches. The Panthers have been really good against the run. I don't know if the Panthers defense is really good or just face offenses that they should dominate and have dominated. Should be a nice game script. Dallas is favored. Everybody's going to be playing the Dak Amari or Dak CeeDee Lamb stack. Do you think that Zeke kind of slides in there as kind of a sneaky play this week?
I love Zeke this week. Absolutely love it. He's the one that jumped out at me where I was like, all right, trying to figure out like all these stacks that people are going to play. And it's like, well, if I don't want to play Dallas, you know, like the Prescott, Lamb, Cooper, whoever, you know, you can play Seattle, you can play Kansas City, you can play Buffalo if you want, the Rams. And it's like, I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, I'm just going to fade the Dallas passing attack with a different passing attack.
Yes.
But you can do that and also play Zeke and just go play Zeke. That's
it. And they, Tony Pollard has looked good, but they still feed Zeke when he's running well. And he actually looked good on Monday night, which is the difference. Like he didn't fall in the end zone twice. Like he looked pretty good. He looked quick. He looked elusive. He was running the ball well. And it's pretty clear when they get inside the five, it's Zeke all the time for them.
Yeah, no, I think he, unless enough people see it, but I just don't see him being as popular as he should be given the situation. But like maybe
I don't see how he can be with the people playing the offense and the other running backs in this range we've already talked about. It's hard when you see Jonathan Taylor 6,300 right there. We talked about DeAndre Swift right there. You're talking about a number of guys. Even if Dallas passing wasn't a popular play, I think Zeke would be pretty under roster just because of the fact that there's seven guys in this range we mentioned already.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. And there's actually another guy in Zeke's range that you mentioned before. We didn't really talk about him, but this is one of these situations where I'm like, this makes sense, but I'm not going to do it because I don't do this anymore. But what do you think about like a Falcons passing stack with Antonio Gibson on the way back?
Oof. You lost me at Falcons passing stack.
I said, I'm not doing it. I don't do that anymore.
We're going to get there, but I think Calvin Ridley is an awesome play this week.
Like Ryan Ridley Gibson?
I want Ryan, but I love Ridley's going, nobody's going to have Ridley this week.
Nobody's going to have Ryan.
Definitely nobody's going to have Ryan. Antonio Gibson is weird. Like, I wouldn't think he'd be game script, have issues game script, but like, he's got a bunch of carries when they're ahead, and when they're losing, they bring in JD McKissick, gets all the catches. We saw Gibson last week at a 73-yard reception touchdown. That was like a play that it was a little screen play, and he made it all himself. A couple of good blocks early, but I mean, he's so dynamic, and they just don't use him in a dynamic way at all.
I love the player.
I don't love the fact that if the game script goes one way or the other, he just kind of get phased out, which he never should. Like, he was like a receiving running back coming out of college, and he was a receiver. They drafted him as like maybe a receiver, and JD McKissick gets every. It's very strange.
I don't get it, but I think that stack makes sense.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way.
What about Jonathan? We mentioned Jonathan Taylor at the top a little bit, 6,300. He's priced down. This is a guy that was regularly drafted in the top eight in fantasy drafts, and not the top 10. Miami run D has been brutal. Peyton Barber was 23 for 111 last week. Peyton Barber. Devin Singletary was 13 for 82 in the second game. Damian Harris, 100 yards in the first game. We're not talking about Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey here. We're talking about guys who aren't great running backs, don't put up huge stats, having huge days against Miami. I think Quentin Nelson, who is one of the best interior linemen in the entire NFL, and obviously the Colts' best lineman, might play, might not play. He got carted off last week. Apparently he's trying to make it happen this week. I think that matters a little bit more than most linemen do when we're talking about these situations. But Jonathan Taylor, 6,300, stuck out to me as someone that I think I'm going to be all over this week.
Yep. No, I think he absolutely makes a great play. And obviously, we've mentioned a bunch of possible pivots from there if you don't want to play him. But
it's a fun range.
But right. But from like an actual projection standpoint, I think Taylor probably projects better than all of them.
Yeah, I would think so. I think Swift's probably up there too in a full PPR just because he's been so good catching passes too. But I've played around with not going Henry and going Taylor and Swift to start, and I kind of like what I can get. So we'll see what I end up building there. But what about receivers? Yeah. Okay, good.
My only hesitation on that, I could see you looking at that lineup on Sunday night and like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift and be like, why did I think that would work?
Why did I just play Derrick Henry? Yeah. I'll just blame you as a Jets fan.
That's fine. That's fine.
What about receivers? We talked about Diggs. We kind of hit on Ridley. Ridley's been weird. Like, he had 57 deep targets last year. He only has six over 15 yards this year. They're running some weird offense in there. He still has 29 targets though. Still really good. Emmanuel Sanders had a really big game against Washington last week. Cole Beasley had 98 yards. Sterling Shepard had 94 the week before that. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen had 187 yards week one. This vaunted Washington football team defense that everybody was drafting in leagues and talking about their front seven is going to be dominant has been probably one of the bigger disappointments of the first 3 weeks of the season. They've been not good.
That's why you want to play Ridley?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Matt Ryan still, but I think you get someone this talented. He's priced down a little bit. He's down to 7,000. Like, usually last year we're seeing him in the high sevens, the low eights. I don't know. You're talking about a stud who no one's going to play. He kind of fits right there.
I think that's the good way to look at it, is just like, he's super talented. He's the best guy on that team.
Yep.
And if he has a huge game, everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah. of course he had a big game. It was just going to happen. So that makes sense.
And it's going to be 3%, 4% roster.
Right. Right. What do you think about this, the Bills passing its stack with your boy Brandon Cooks on the way back?
You got to like Cooks for getting volume, right? Like they throw to him a ton. He's their only guy there. I'm looking at T. He has 25 targets the last 2 weeks. He's over 100 yards in 2 or 3 weeks. They're going to have to throw a lot. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. If you're going to do it, I think you have to come back with Cooks because he's just so the only option there. And that's exactly what you want when you got a bad team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think.
And it's good to see that last week it was Davis Mills with Houston. We'll be again this week. Like he threw to him too. So it wasn't just a Tyrod thing.
Right.
Like he's their guy and he's the only thing they have.
Yeah. Like Allen, Diggs, Sanders, even. And then Cooks on the way back.
Yeah, you're going to have to hope that Houston scores some points in there for two receivers to work out for them to throw enough for that. But yeah, I think it could.
Yeah, that's fair.
It could work. Houston's got to find a way to score 17, 14 points, something like that. And I don't know. The Bills have been killing people the last 2 weeks, so maybe not. But stranger things happen. Houston looked good the first week, less so recently. But I'd probably stick with just the one receiver. But yeah, I mean, that's a game that Buffalo could score 45 points.
Yeah. And you just have to hope that it's the first half with Allen throwing.
It's the right guys. And, you know, maybe Allen gets some third quarter action in there too. Someone asked in the chat about another trade question. Should they trade Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk for Stephon Diggs and Patterson? Cordarrelle. No, I would keep C-Mac and Ayuk.
Cordarrelle, I think I saw, was like running back 8 and wide receiver 16.
Yeah, I saw that. It's just a weird, Atlanta's a weird team.
He's a weird player. Like, it's perfect that he's there now because he's the weird player in a weird team.
And he's not young. Like, he's been around for so long. It's very strange. It's very odd. But one other running back. We're in receiver now. But we talked about the Dallas guys. Do you have a preference? I mean, CeeDee Lamb, 6,700. Cooper, 6,000. The price jumps out. Lamb was weird. Like he almost scored in the first or second drive last week, like down at the half yard line. If Dak leads him a little bit, it's an easy touchdown, but only 3 targets under 7,000 for, a guy who's definitely a stud. Seems really nice. Cooks had a big game against Carolina last week. We like a little bit of points in this game. Carolina's face receivers. Let's be real, from the Jets. Sorry to you, New Orleans and Houston. Like Brandon Cooks is clearly the best player in that group, but there are very few receivers right there that you're worried about. Lamb and Cooper, the first time they're actually facing some real NFL receivers this week.
I think their like median outcome is similar enough where you just say, I will play the guy who will be less popular. But the problem is I think they're both going to be popular. So it's not to be like, oh, it's just a coin flip, but I don't think you're like losing that much if you just go from Cooper to Lamb or vice versa. But like, usually it's just like, oh, I'll just take the cheaper guy.
Yeah, so I guess if the 700 gets you something you really like, then maybe you just do it that way. And if it doesn't, then maybe you can go with Lamb. But usually that 700 does matter.
Yeah, in weird places like defense. Like if you're, the 700 on the defense salary list ends up being a lot. You're getting you're going from a terrible one to like an okay one or okay to elite. And so
I think I finally called defense right last week, the first time in like 100 years with Arizona, that Trevor Lawrence flea flicker with the lead into a pick six was one of my favorite plays in a while. That was like the second they ran that play, I'm like, oh, this is bad. And then he let it go. I'm like, oh, this is really bad. And there it goes the other way. But we talked a lot about mid-range receivers. What about mid-range – we're talking about mid-range running backs. What about mid-range receivers? We talked about Lamb and Cooper. We talked about OBJ and DJ Moore at the beginning. Is there anybody else in this range you really like? Anybody in like kind of the 5 and 6,000 that jumps out to you? I think Marquise Brown is fascinating just because of the drops last week, but how active he is. He dropped 2 touchdowns last week, still had 7 targets. I have to think that Lamar's – you never know what happens in-game, but Lamar's quotes this week were pretty much like – he's fine. We're going back to him. There's not a problem. I kind of think that maybe they drop a play for him early to get that kind of out of his mind. That's a very narrative street, but something NFL teams sometimes do. But who else in this range do you like? I mean, if Deontay Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't play, Chase Claypool had 15 targets last week. I never thought Chase Claypool had 15 targets and not get 100 yards. He had 9 for 96, which seems impossible. But again, this Pittsburgh offense is weird right now. Anybody else in this range? Who do you like in kind of this mid-range receiver range? It felt a little more dead to me than most weeks.
Like it's all guys who are like okay, and
or so popular that everybody's gonna be on them, like Lamb, Beckham, Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't think the Brown thing is that narrative driven. Okay. Like, he's obviously their top receiver.
Yeah.
And he got the targets, got the air yards, like everything's there that you're just like, no, I should keep playing that guy. We didn't mention Lamar at all.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. And, you know, we talked about it, that basically that game is going to be close. You think the Broncos are going to win, but like, nobody's playing Lamar.
Yeah, talk about a great week to play Lamar, because nobody, everybody, there are so many guys like, oh, I want to play this guy with his receiver. And with Lamar, you usually get in the situation like, oh, but you could play Lamar naked. You could play him with Brown. You could play him with Mark Andrews, who looked really good last week, too. Yeah, if you're going to give me an under-rostered Lamar, that's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, Denver defense is very good, and so.
Sure, but he gets loose on anybody.
Sure, but. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. When he busts out, you're like, oh, there's 104 yards rushing really quickly. But
yes, so I think that's fine. I actually don't really want any of the Broncos side of that, just kind of looking at the mid-range, like Cortland Sutton's in that mid-range group. But like,
he's the only guy left, right? But
well, right, yeah.
And they have to
going to like the games that we've been talking about in terms of, and then salary range, like we were saying, we like Buffalo, go all the way down to Cole Beasley. Like, nobody's going to play him this week. He's fine. Like,
so many comments, and I can't make any of them. But
what do you think about Michael Pittman?
Third most targets in the NFL the last 2 weeks. Like, it's crazy how much they're using him. He was 8 for 123 and 6 for 68 last 2 weeks.
5,400.
Yeah, he's 24 targets last week, which is only trails Devontae Adams and Brandon Cooks for receiver targets the last 2 weeks. It's just who they're playing, Miami, right? It's so unexciting that maybe it'll work, but like, I'd probably play Marquise Brown at the same price just for the ceiling.
Yeah. I just like, he was in the range and it was like
Robert Woods cheaper, like crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, Pittman, and I think there's
you sort by targets, and Pittman jumps off the page of the price, because obviously Adams is expensive. Cooks, we've talked about a bunch, but you're right. He's right there.
He's there. And so he'll be a guy every week where he's there. I'm not going to play him, but like, somebody might, and you know, that's it. But no thanks.
So we talked about the Chiefs and Eagles a little bit earlier. We talked about Jalen Hurts. We talked about the Chiefs scoring points. What about the Philly receivers? We have Devonta Smith, 5,700. He has 8, 7, and 6 targets the last 3 weeks, 44 total yards last 2 weeks. He has not done much. Jalen Reagor, 19 targets through 3 weeks. And it kind of feels like he's always just missing that big play. I kind of like Reagor at 4,700 this week in a game where it should be a lot of points. You should have to throw the whole second half. Rieger's the guy that I would play in this if I'm playing a Philly receiver.
Right. Like, we don't really want to play a Philly receiver. We're just going to play a run back from Kansas City.
Correct.
So if you can get, like, I don't think there's a reasonable, what is it? He was how much? 4,700?
He's 47. Devonta is 5,700.
Right. Like, I don't think I need to spend an extra $1,000 for a run back.
I don't either. I think that, and I think that Reagor is right there in targets.
Yeah.
I think he's more likely to hit a big over the top play than Devonta is, which, you know, in a run back game like that, give me that every time.
Right. No, I think that's right.
Someone asked in the chat if they should play Deontay Johnson or Miles Sanders at flex this week. Coming off the injury, I would play Miles Sanders, despite the fact I know he had 2 carries last week, which was one of the weirder games I've ever seen. But give me the guy in this Chiefs game that I think they're going to have to maybe dump the ball off to him a bunch. I'll go Miles Sanders healthy over a banged up Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
I guess. What about other cheap options? We talked about Reagor. AJ Green, 4,500 in a high scoring game. What say you?
Sure.
Answer my question. That look answered my question. If you're not in video, the answer was sure. What about Tennessee? I think that if AJ Brown doesn't play, Julio's questionable right now. They have 2 receivers in the low 3,000s. Like, we're talking really cheap here. Nick Westbrook, Ikeen, who is an undrafted receiver from Indiana, I believe. I'm getting that right. Hopefully, I'm doing that off memory. So if not, you can correct me somewhere else. 3,200. He played 53 snaps last week. It was 4-53 in a touchdown. Chester Rogers, 3,300. He had 13 targets on the year, but only 2 last week. If I'm going somewhere here, if they both don't play, you've got to consider these guys, just because there's someone's going to catch passes. I'd probably go Westbrook off the targets and snaps from last week.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
3,200. Yeah.
I think obviously that just pushes more people to Henry.
Yeah, that's definitely the case there. But those guys are cheap. If you were looking to just kind of punt a spot and get maybe some targets in there. You know, you give me targets 1,300. That's a pretty good thing.
I think right, like from a value perspective, that will jump off if yeah. Julio and AJ Brown both don't play, and you get the awesome Corey Davis revenge game on the run back.
Corey Davis revenge game. I like it. Anybody else in the 3,000s receivers that you like? Usually we talk about, there weren't a lot I like this week. I think that if Darnell Mooney plays, it's just the Bears offense is a mess right now, but 3,900 with, you know, technically Justin Fields should be able to get him the ball deep. Detroit's defense is really bad. He had 15 targets the first 2 weeks, then four last week, but he's heavily involved. Problem is he's questionable right now, but if he's good to go, I think he's probably my favorite guy at 4,000 that could, you know, actually be good.
He's the one who I was going to say. I think I feel like every time we have an opportunity to mention Mooney, we do it. And so,
yeah, it's because KJ Hamler's out for the year. It's going to be Darnell Mooney instead, I guess. But
yeah, you just have to unfortunately rely on who knows at quarterback is the problem.
That's a big thing. You know what's sneaky though is that like if Nick Foles plays, Mooney's probably that's probably the best option for Mooney right now.
Yeah, because
Foles will just screw it, take some deep shots, kind of like feel to it. I don't think Nick Foles cares what the coach thinks. I think Nick Foles will take his shots. Nick Foles likes to take some risks. I think that's probably the best option, not for the Bears, but for a Darnell Mooney DFS fantasy play.
Do you have any interest in going to the non-Beckham Browns receivers?
I don't.
Okay.
I just don't know what you're going to get. I mean, Peoples Jones or Anthony Schwartz could hit a big play. Anthony Schwartz talked about last week is like Olympic level fast, but I don't know. I just I think this offense is Chubb, Hunt, and Beckham. And like, yeah, if you want to pray for a big play, sure, they're cheap. Like, go for it, but not a way that I'm going.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those situations where you're putting, I don't want to say like too much emphasis on leverage, but you're like you're trying too hard.
I think that's a good way to put it. I think it's just you're guessing, and those plays sometimes work, and you'll probably see, yeah, some lineups. If one works, you'll see some lineups that are up there. People are going to play them because it's a high scoring game, but good luck guessing between those guys. I mean, Peoples Jones has done nothing. Not for me. There's enough other guys I can play that I actually like that I just don't see a point in doing it.
Yeah. Given the slate, like there are too many options. And like, if it was a showdown,
yeah,
then you're
sure,
like, yeah, you definitely do it. But
CJ Uzoma in the captain spot last night for $1 million. I saw the lineup and I was like, it's funny because like if you hit that, you hit a weird captain like that, the rest of the lineup's so easy.
Yeah.
It's just like quarterback. I forget who it was, but it was like Burrow and Chase and Uzoma in captain spot, and it was Trevor Lawrence and Chenault and James Robinson. It's like you took every player that was pretty obvious, and then you just a random captain who scored twice. Like those showdown lineups look so damn easy afterwards. It's so frustrating.
They aren't at all,
but they just look like it. After you watch the game, you're like, oh, that seemed like a good way to play it.
Yeah, you just have to, those are the lineups where you just have to hope that you haven't gone broke before they work.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. Speaking of CJ Uzoma, what about tight ends this week? We talked about Kelce at the top. We've got, it is a big drop down. We've got Kittle at 5,900 again. Sounds like he's pretty questionable right now, which kind of gives me some anxiety as a 49ers fan because we need him badly. TJ Hockenson, who was quiet last week, it looks like Baltimore really focused their defense on him, which is probably a smart thing considering their weapons. 5,800. We got Mark Andrews, 53. Kyle Pitts, 5,000. Are you at the point yet now where you're like, I need Kyle Pitts to show me a big week before I play him anymore?
I haven't played him yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I played him week one.
I think I'm at the point where like, yeah, I think I probably need to see a big week before I really get back in. I don't think there's a reason to, he's obviously really talented and really fun to watch and getting some targets, but he has 17 targets, but like three last week. They've gone down each week. I think I need to see it first before I pay the 5,000.
It just seems like the algorithm is being manually adjusted because he doesn't justify.
I think it is. Yeah. It has to be, right? Like, I just think, not that he's been bad, like he's been involved and it's just this offense is weird, but like I just can't justify playing him over Mark Andrews at essentially the same price right now.
Right. And if you're going to play Mark Andrews, just play Noah Fant.
Noah Fant is 4,300, has not done quite as much as Andrews, but yeah, if you want to save the money in that game, it does work. He's playable there. I got a couple cheap guys this week. How do you feel about Dalton Schultz coming off the big Monday night performance? It was a Monday night performance, so the price didn't get moved up. He's 3,400 against Carolina. He had 6 for 80 and 2 touchdowns. Is a good passing offense. Obviously, he's down the passing tree from Lamb and Cooper. But Involved in an offense with a high implied total always kind of works for a really cheap tight end.
And with the way that that tight end is this week, where it's kind of like if you're not going to pay all the way up for Kelce, and if Kittle doesn't play, then it's kind of like, not that everybody's the same, but you just, like you said, you take the guy in a high powered offense that's going to pass the ball. And he's so cheap that if you just add him to the, you know, a Prescott, Lamb, Schultz lineup, like, yeah, it doesn't hurt you at all. It helps because you got a cheap position player out of the way. Like, he makes total sense.
Yeah, if I stack Dallas, Dak, and a receiver, I'm gonna play Schultz as my tight end. But even more punty, we've got 3,000 highly talented guy, highly drafted guy. If Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton sit, what can I do for you on Evan Ingram at 3,000? 3,000 off 6 targets last week.
Yeah, I think Ingram is like always underpriced. Like, he's a very good receiver.
Probably for good reason.
I'm going to blame Daniel Jones more than I blame Evan Ingram. And so...
Two catches last week in his first game and fumbled once.
You know. I think he's a great
player. It's so Evan. I do too. I think at 3,000, you get a guy who's talented and two of their top receivers might be out. Like, this is a week where they're going to have to... It depends on how the injury report comes out on Sunday morning, but he's going to have to get targets. And at 3,000, like, give me a guy that gets targets every time.
Yeah, and you can do it without having to worry about playing Daniel Jones.
I will die. I agree there. I'm not going to play Daniel Jones. If Gerald Everett doesn't play, he's coming out. He's on the COVID list. We get even cheaper. 2,600, Will Disley at tight end against the 49ers. I like receivers more than I do tight ends against the 49ers because Fred Warner's really good defending tight ends. But 2,600, if you wanted to go, if you're going Wilson Metcalf or Wilson Lockett, I think throwing Disley at 2,600 if Everett doesn't play is an interesting way to save some money and get another piece of the stack.
I think he's the best option in the range.
Damning with faint praise. It's hard for me not to go Ingram for $400 more.
Yeah.
And definitely Schultz for $800. I think with Schultz and Ingram there, Disley doesn't become a play for me. If there was nobody there, he'd be a nice punt play. But with decent options we can argue for really close, I think I just go with one of those two.
So no interest in Tyler Higbee against Arizona, who is not the same as they were, but we used to take every tight end against them.
So he's 4,600. Yeah. I think that we saw a good week one, a absolute not showing up week two, and then a pretty good week three. He was a touchdown last week. Yeah, I think he's playable.
Stafford, Woods, Higbee. Forget about Kupp.
Figuring out Stafford, you could do a lot with that lineup for sure. I like that.
Why not?
I'm looking at Higbee like under 5,000. I take him over Dallas Goedert and Robert Tonyan. He's probably right there with Fant. I take him over Gesicki. I think he's probably the guy in the 4,000s I take. I'd probably go up to Mark Andrews or down to one of the cheaper guys we talked about. That was kind of probably the reason that Higbee gets lost in my lineups this week.
You play Higbee over Pitts?
Yeah. Sad. I love Kyle Pitts, man. Love him. Wanted to get him in drafts. It's just the offense is weird right now.
I think we love the idea of Kyle Pitts more than it's we love Kyle Pitts.
A really good way to put it, but. Hey, Kyle Pitts is going to be good at some point. I just don't think we should be paying for him right now.
He better be, because
yeah,
we're all going to be wrong.
Yeah, use the high pick and a tight end. The Falcons are going to be most wrong if that happens.
Right.
That's going to be a rough one to miss. Real quick, what about defenses? We saw last week defenses do make a difference. There were a couple defenses, Arizona and someone else. Whoever played the Jets, maybe. I forget who it was, but Arizona, another defense, had a lot of points. What do you like for defense this week? I think there's a couple mid-range teams and maybe one or two cheap ones, but where are you feeling on defense this week?
Well, you know how I like to start at the bottom and work my way up.
Detroit.
Nailed it.
The Bears offense was horrendous last
week. So bad.
Like, I can't even quantify. It was so, and every time I flipped over to that game, it wasn't often because it was so gross, but like, they gave up 9 sacks. Like, Myles Garrett was living in the back. He had 4.5 sacks himself. I mean, 9 sacks in an NFL game is a freaking ton. That's like what happens in a college game when you have two mismatched teams. 9 sacks in an NFL game is a freaking lot.
If only they were playing a mobile quarter. Oh, wait.
Yeah, right?
Oh, wait.
Again, I don't want to call for coaches' firings ever, but my God, were they not prepared for that game?
Just, that's exactly what it was. Just like completely not prepared. And so
How are you not prepared for an NFL game? It's all you do. Like these guys are in the office for like, they brag about 22 hours. They sleep in their cot in the corner and you don't have plays drawn up for your number one drafted. Like Kyle Shanahan is not starting Trey Lance, but like has plays drawn up just for him, even though he's not the starter and we have plays for him. Like, how do you not have plays for him? It's insane.
It's granted, this is, there's no reason to think that the Lions defense will score a lot of points in this game. But at 2,200, because it's either going to be Fields or a banged up Andy Dalton, most likely. And so it's like,
or Super Bowl star Nick Foles.
Right. I guess it could be Foles.
I'd be less inclined to play the defense if Foles plays, because I think he just like him. He might force some plays though. He does like.
I was going
to
say, but right.
We like it for Mooney, so I guess you like him for making some mistakes. So in the same ish range, I kind of like Dallas this week at 2,600. Carolina has been good, but hasn't played anybody. I think you can agree that Sam Darnold can make some mistakes now and then. But the Cowboys have 4 sacks last week. They have 8 turnovers already forced this year. They've forced a lot of turnovers. Carolina's allowed 6 sacks so far. I haven't heard a lot of talk about the Cowboys defense, but I really like them at 2,600 this week. If I'm going to go cheap under 3,000, I'm going Dallas. I think Darnold makes a couple of mistakes. I think Dallas makes a big play. I think they get some sacks too.
Yeah, I think if you play Zeke, you absolutely play the Dallas defense.
Like that, yeah. And even if you play the passing game, like you can play passing game, hope they get to a big lead, and then you know then you run the defense back too.
The ideal game script is the early pick six, and then they just run Zeke.
You love that,
and I guess Pollard. But
the early pick six when you have the passing stack is so nice.
It's so good
because you're always worried. You're like, oh, they're gonna score 3 touchdowns early and not pass anymore. Like the early pick six is so beautiful. That was the joy of Jameis like two years ago when he had the 30-30 season. Whenever I played him, you get a pick six early. You're like, oh, we're throwing all game. It was awesome. Oh, I loved it. So I like Detroit. I looked at Detroit. I like Dallas a lot. I think the Colts are interesting at 2,700 against Miami. They forced 5 turnovers. They had 5 sacks. Miami's not playing good offense, but I would go Dallas instead. In the 3,000s, I think everybody's going to gravitate towards Tennessee against the Jets and the Saints against the Giants, 39 and 3,800. I think that, I guess you're looking at like season long, who people are picking up in fantasy leagues. I think it's been Tennessee. It's been New Orleans. It was Jacksonville last night, which didn't work out great because Jacksonville had some offense, but I think Tennessee and the Saints probably popular in the mid range here.
I think that's right. Going a little lower. What do you think about where I just had them and now I just lost them? Oh, the Packers.
I mean, you're gonna Ben looks horrible, and he threw a 3-yard interception right in someone's stomach last week. Like, I don't know what that play was. He threw it right to the Cincy line. He was like staring right in front of him. Like, it's not like he was one of those plays like you just didn't see him and it happens. Like, he's staring right at him and threw it right to him. Maybe that's as far as he can throw the ball. I don't know, but yeah, I think the Packers at 3,300 can work. I think I just like Dallas more for 700.
Sure. Oh, I agree. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you know, the Titans, have 7 sacks. They're facing the Jets. They only have 1 turnover, but, you know, Zach Wilson's going to throw the ball to them a little bit. The Jets have allowed 15 sacks and thrown 7 interceptions already this year. Like, I apologize for picking on your Jets, but my God, that's a lot of sacks and turnovers.
It's not great, Scott. It's not great.
I think their lowest sack allowed week is 4. I think they have 6, 5, and 4 in 3 weeks.
Sounds like progress.
And obviously, their best lineman, Becton's not playing. Like, they just can't block anybody. I don't love the Tennessee defense, which is the problem. And the 3,900, if they were cheaper, that definitely might play. But I don't know. I kind of like Dallas at defense. I think that's going to be the way that I'm going to go at 2,600.
I think the other thing with the Titans is that given the game script, there should be 50 pass attempts.
And Zach Wilson, excuse me, chucking it all over the yard is kind of like a dream for a fantasy defense, right?
It's going to be peak Jameis. Oh, yeah. He's just going to be throwing as much as he can in any spot that he thinks he can get it. And he's a rookie. And so, oh God, this could be ugly.
He has a cannon. It's fun to watch.
He does.
I think the knowing where the window is in college is much different than knowing where the window is in the pros. And you could tell he's like, oh, I can make that throw. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. It goes from like an open barn door to like an open window. And now
NFL DBs are fast.
Except the Jets ones. Those guys are awful.
And the 49ers ones, who apparently we got like Josh Norman, Dre Kirkpatrick, like guys are really good in like 2012, and they're coming in. It's rough right now.
I think if Darrell Revis came back today without having played football for however long he's been out, he would be the Jets' best cornerback.
I would literally let him play tomorrow for the 49ers right now. I wouldn't need to see a tryout.
Yeah.
It's that bad. But
in fairness, he was really bad by the end, but
he was, but
still, they all are.
Yeah, we can't, the Niners can't guard anybody. I mean, they did the first play last week, Alan Lazard hit like a 40-yarder. I'm like, oh, it's gonna be a long
not good, yeah.
It's gonna be a long day of watching receivers run around. But anybody else you want to talk about? I kind of think we've kind of hit it all. We've hit all the positions, all the price points. Anybody else you want to talk about?
No, I think we hit it.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. We always appreciate that. If you could please rate over the podcast, that means a lot to us. Helps people find the podcast, etc. We could do that wherever you happen to listen to us. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he is at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Jensen. Obviously, his injuries and stuff change some lives and stuff. If you have some questions on there, we'll be happy to answer stuff there. Probably to be talking about games, etc. On there also. Luckily, baseball season is ending, so if you follow me, you don't have to listen to me complain about the A's anymore, which is a positive for everybody involved in the situation. So
it's helpful.
Your Yankees had a nice win last night, so you guys are looking pretty good. The playoffs should be fun there. But thanks, everybody, for listening. We want to thank our sponsor, WinBet, who's the exclusive sponsor for all of RotoWire's Fantasy Podcasts. We appreciate that. Other than that, I hope everybody has a fantastic week four. I look forward to be talking to you next Friday for week five. Take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.